Blog Talk Radio.
Buddy, this is the Writer's Lounge. This is show number 68. My name is Tom Riddell, and it is September 1st, 2014. And welcome back. We've been away for 4 months. I've had some medical issues to attend to, and I'm almost back at 100%. So I'm happy to have you on the show tonight. We've got a special show tonight. It's kind of taken away from our normal format where we normally have authors on to discuss their books. We will have some authors on to discuss their books, but it's pretty much kind of an open mic night tonight. And, of course, this is the show where we showcase new authors. And, again, my name is Tom Riddell. Coming into tonight's show as my co-host will be a good friend of mine, Brian D. Anderson, who's also written many of the books out there in the Godling Chronicles. In fact, he's written all of the books out there in the Godling Chronicles, and he'll be here shortly with me to talk about what he's been up to these last 4 months. So let's just get on here and explain a little bit about what today's show is about or what we're all about over at the Writer's Lounge blog. You can find us at tomriddell.com/blog, and over there you can read all the reviews that I do for all the authors that have been on the show over the last 3 years. And once again, this is our anniversary show. We've been on the air for 3 years. So once again, go over there to the site, tomriddell.com/blog. Up in the upper left-hand corner, you'll find a Blog Talk Radio player. Click on that, and you can listen to all the reviews and all the interviews that I've done over the last 3 years. We're also on Facebook. Go ahead and look us up over there. And we're also on Twitter. You can also contact us the old-fashioned way at tw11@yahoo.com. I just have to mention that we've had some problems with that account, and we're working to get them fixed. And shortly we'll be announcing how you can send in your books and information and comments to that email address. And I'll try and mention that later on during the show, and so you can go ahead and do that. Upcoming guest authors, we don't have any as of yet. When we took a break 4 months ago, we did have some, and we're going to try to recontact those authors and see if we can get them back on the show, or we'll bring on new ones. And again, I will be letting you know when the next date would be for the show for them. Magic Pen Web Design is our sponsor. It offers its clients a simple, effective, and affordable approach to website design development. Now you can go over there, fill out the free estimate form over at magicpenwebdesign.com. Let Magic Pen help you sell that next book with a website design that works its magic for you. And I'd like to mention before we bring on Brian that in the past couple shows that we've done way back in March and April and May, we had announced, we tried to announce on a show, the top five picks from the 70 reviews that I've done of books over the last 3 years, and we had a problem with the show. We had some technical difficulties, and at this point in time, I would like to announce the top five. I know a lot of you have sent in comments wondering about that show and wondering who were the top five picks that I picked out of the 70 reviews that I did, and these are the top five picks. Fireflies with P.S. Bartlett comes in that top five. Also, Gazpacho by Robert Nippon. The Godling Chronicles, Brian D. Anderson, also is in the top five. And also Revolution, written by Alicia Love, is in the top five. And to round that up, My Life Before I Decided to Commit Suicide by Jim Murphy was also in that top five. So to all of those authors, congratulations. It was very difficult to pick the top five, and I'm glad you all made it. And there's a lot of good books out there that came in 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. So I just want to let you know that there were a lot of good entries over the past 3 years, and I hope you keep on sending me the books, and we'll keep doing the shows, and we'll keep doing the reviews. And so right now I would like to bring on Brian Anderson. I had to re-click the button here to bring him on. Brian, how you doing?
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. We've got several calls coming in here, and I'm going to have to look because I know that we're going to have on P.S. Bartlett, who's also going to join us. But we'll talk a little bit about you. I want to tell you that I've read or begun to read book five of your Godling Chronicles series, and I find it extremely exciting and involving. And it's piqued my interest once again. I don't know when you're going to quit sending out those five-star books, but you're doing a good job, Brian. And what are you working on now?
Well, actually, I finished the sixth book. It's going to be it's on pre-sale right now on Amazon. It comes out the 10th of this month. And from between the 7th and the 13th, you'll be able to pick up the first three books. There's a bundle for like $2.99. I'm running a special on those. But book six is completed. It's available for pre-order on Amazon, and I'm excited about it. It is the final installment. It is the end of the Godling Chronicles.
Okay. So how does that make you feel?
You know, I'm sad, excited, a lot of the things at the same time, man. You know, I've been working on it for so long, and you know, I mean, part of me, you know, was really ready to move on to new things, but you know, this has done so much for my career, it's done so much for my life, and it's, you know, just been such an important thing to me that, yeah, I mean, I was, you know, of course, sad to see, you know, see the two words, the end, when I wrote them. But, you know, excited, too, because I'm working on a new project right now. A lot of things have happened since last time I was on your show. I got an agent now, wonderful agent, actually, a woman named Julia McLean. She's with Forward Literary, and she pitched the new series. And so right now I'm just I'm trying to get it finished, so hopefully it'll be going to one of the big five by the first of the year.
Yeah, that's great. And once again, Brian was extremely nervous and excited at the same time when he first came on our show way back. I don't know what was it now, Brian. Way back in the beginning of our show to have me review his book, and he was so worried that I was going to give him a one-star review. He practically called me every couple of days wondering how I was doing with it and where I was in that book. And, well, look at how far you've come. It makes me very happy for you, my friend. And it also says a lot about, it says a lot about the readers out there, too. We can't forget them. They're the ones that buy the book.
Oh, you know what? The people who's been following this have been just, I'm telling you, they're the best. I can't say enough about the fans of the series, fans of my work. They're just great. I feel privileged every time I get to, you know, hear from one of them. I get to, you know, correspond with somebody. I love answering, you know, messages and mail, fan mail and stuff like that. It's the highlight of my day every time I hear something from somebody.
Yeah. We also have another very successful author out there that's been on our show before who is really making a name for herself. She's actually got some great news to announce here, and I'm going to let her do it. I'm not going to steal the thunder from her. But before we do that, Brian, I'd like for you to kind of tell me or tell us what's your next project about. Can you give us a glimpse into your next
book?
Yeah,
well, I sure can. As a matter of fact, the prologue and chapter one are at the end of book six, so if anybody's interested in reading it, there's a sample in the last book of the Goblin Chronicles. But it's this is kind of an interesting story. There's a little time travel involved, and there's two worlds, Earth and a world called Lumia, and you have basically it's a guy, a boy sent to Earth from Lumia to Earth when he's a baby to escape the bad guy, and then comes back later as a young man, having right in the middle of fighting in Carentan, France during World War II. And since he's been gone, the world has been wiped out of mages and wizards, and he and a few of the children who also were stowed away at different points in time on Earth are supposed to come back and fight this guy. And there's dragons in this one, so just so much. I have actually book one all worked out. It's about halfway, the writing's about halfway done. Actually, I have the whole series worked out. But it's just, there's so much involved, so many new characters, so many new ideas. It's just been it's just really, really exciting. I think the fans are really going to like this one.
Good. I'm looking forward to reading those, too. And I want to mention, everybody out there, if you want to give us a call here at the Writer's Lounge, you can do so at 626-213-5613 or toll-free at 877-878-1436. We have quite a few people here on our switchboard, but I want you to hold on if you're there, if you can. We will get to you, but we're going to bring on now the author of the book Fireflies, and she also did a prequel to that book, which was extremely good in itself, and we're going to bring her on now. She's known as P.S. Bartlett. I call her Peggy, and Peggy, hopefully we can click the magic button, and the magic button doesn't seem to be working here for me right now for some reason. Hold on a second. Let me try it again. Oh, there we go. Peggy Bartlett, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm sitting
here. I was getting ready to say, can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, it's good to hear you, Peggy, and I know that we were going to get together and do a show with your prequel, the book that followed Fireflies. I was wondering if you could give us a little bit of information on that book and how it's going.
That book is Hope from the Ocean. And you're right, it's the prequel to Fireflies, and basically what it is the story of before the story, basically. It's what happened with the family leading up to the book Fireflies. And it answers a lot of questions that a lot of readers had from Fireflies. So, you know, most of the feedback that I've received has been that people, you know, that they really enjoyed it, but mainly because so many of the questions that they had about Fireflies were answered.
It really, once again, you did yourself proud there with that. And before we get to these other callers, I'm surprised that everybody is calling in here, but before we get to the other callers, I know you sent me information today you were quite excited about. Can you tell me or tell us what that's all about?
Yes. I was really surprised, very surprised and very happy, because there were so many great books that were nominated and were finalists in this category, but I found out last night that Fireflies won the Silver Award in the Reader's Favorite Book Awards contest.
And that was an international award, if I'm correct. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. It's an international book contest, and I was nominated or a finalist in two categories, historical fiction and in paranormal, and unfortunately you can only win in one category with the same book, but I'm just happy that I won in the paranormal category for Fireflies. So that's an incredible honor. Of course, we're all invited. They have a big award ceremony in Miami in November, but that's all hinging on whether or not I'm going to be able to afford it. So we'll see how that goes.
Oh, I just tingle with excitement here. It's just so great to be able to have, and I proudly say that you guys are TWL authors. You're the Writer Lounge authors that have been on our show from the beginning, and I am so happy and so proud and excited to be a part of your success. It's so much fun, and it's really it's an emotional charge for me that frankly I've needed in the last couple of months because I was dealing with surgery and all kinds of stuff. So when I hear news like that, it perks me right up. But let's hold you guys off for a second here, and I'm going to go to someone who's been on the line here for quite a while. I don't know who they are, but they're from 662-574 is the first three numbers of the phone number. So we're going to bring you on to the Writer's Lounge, and do you have any question or comment?
I was just calling in to say congratulations, Peggy, on your silver awards, and congratulations to my buddy over there doing the co-hosting job. I'm so proud of you guys. I love that I know all of you. This is CK, if you didn't know that.
CK, the murderer.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. I'm so proud of you guys. You too, Brian. You pain in the butt, and I love you, and I love your book.
Thank you, darling.
Yeah, welcome, baby. And Tom, I'm so glad to hear you back on the radio again, man. Things were not right without you, so glad to have you back.
Yeah, I'm back, and it's good to hear from a murderess, and keep doing the good work.
I am. I'm keeping up the body count. You better believe it. I'm keeping up the body count. So, DJ and I are working on the third installment for that one. And DJ's working on something herself. I was hoping she'd call in, but she wasn't feeling so good. But DJ, it will definitely be a good one for you later because she's working on her own book, which is really cool.
Is she in your area code?
She's in my area code, yeah. 662.
Yep. Well, I think she's here.
549-4002. That's her.
Yep. Do you want to stick on or do you want to go?
You know what? Let her do her thing. Let her shine like a diamond like she does. You guys talk about her new stuff that's coming out and that we're working on three and all that. I just really wanted to say, hey, that we're glad to have you back on here. Blog Talk's missed you big time. I've missed you. And Brian, congratulations on the agent deal and all that. It's awesomeness. And Peggy,
Thank you.
P.S. Bartlett, congratulations on winning that silver award. That is awesome.
Thank you so much.
All right,
okay.
You guys have a great day.
All right, thanks. Bye. Okay, here comes Debbie. Are you there?
Hi, y'all. How are y'all doing?
We're doing fine.
Hey, Debbie.
Hi, guys. Congratulations on all your new stuff. It's great to hear.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Everybody's doing a good job. Everybody's doing a good job. It's great. That's great. And it's good to have you back, Tom.
Yeah,
so nice
well,
to hear your voice.
Yep. Yep. We're moving along with the health problems, and I've actually started to do some writing in my novel. So with the time off, I did a little bit of writing. So I'm going to keep pushing on that, and eventually, maybe in another couple of years, I'll have that done. But, you know, it's a lot of fun doing the show, and it's a lot of fun doing the writing, and and I'm very excited for everybody that's been on our show, and you two gals there have been doing an exceptional job too, and we're looking for more from you. So can you tell us what's coming from you guys soon?
Well, as CK said, we're working on book three. It's taken us a while because we don't have as much time as we thought we would to work on it. And I'm also working on a little something of my own. I haven't really decided if this is going to be a full-blown novel or if this is going to turn into a short story or a novella. I'm not sure yet. I'm just kind of rolling with this one. And so we'll see where that goes. I hadn't even named it yet.
Okay. Well, it's a work in progress.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely a work in progress.
Yeah.
Just an idea I came up with, and I started to make a short story, but it may turn out to be a little bigger than that. So we'll just have to roll with it and see how it goes.
Yeah, isn't it hard to write short stuff when you get so used to writing really long novels?
It is very, very. But I really wanted to write a few short stories just to have them. And I came up with this idea for this particular one. And as I added more to my ideas about what I wanted to do, it just kind of turned into something I think is going to be bigger than a short story. I'm not sure if it'll make it to novel size. But I think it's going to be a little bit bigger than a short story. So we're shooting kind of for a novella type thing.
You want to develop these characters, right? You want to develop the characters. And all, you just want to develop the characters, and you can't do it like you can in a novel.
No, it's true. And I think you get a lot less detail, which that's good. But I'm kind of relying on the old adage that people are intelligent enough to figure out what I'm talking about without me giving them just every single detail there is out there. So I'm kind of shooting
in that direction.
Yeah, what a tree
looks like.
So we'll see.
I've got all three of you here, and I'd like to ask you a question. We can go down the line, starting with Brian, and then Debbie, and then Peggy. But I was wondering about your book sales, and I'm wondering, since there's been an article that's just been published saying that Amazon is offering all proceeds to its authors, in other words, total proceeds, not a percentage, like some of the other publishing companies are doing. I was wondering how you guys are dealing with that, and how do you decide what the price of your book is going to be? And I'll start off with Brian if you want to answer that question.
You know, this is the first I've heard of it. I haven't heard anything about that.
Me neither.
Yeah, if it means exclusivity, you know, I don't know. I'd probably do it on my indie stuff. But, you know, I mean, that'd be a tough call because I would assume you would have to not go anywhere but sell through Amazon. That's probably how it would work, I would imagine. So, you know, like I said, I'm going to look into it now that you've made me aware of it. Now, as far as pricing goes, I kind of try to keep in line with others in my genre. I'm generally anywhere between $2.99 and $4.99. Generally, most of my books are at $3.99. When I do a new release, I price it at $4.99 for the first month, and then go to $3.99 after that. But if you look at the other authors in my genre, it's pretty much in line with them. It's at least $1, $2, and often $4 or $5 less than, say, books that are coming out of Penguin or the Hachette group. So that's pretty much what I do there.
Yeah. And Debbie, what do you think about this?
I'm kind of in agreement. Of course, you know, we published ours through Suspense Publishing. So we just, you know, Shannon and John are excellent business people. They're very savvy with knowing, you know, what the best approach is and the best thing to do. The exclusively Amazon, I don't think we would ever go in that direction, because we actually on our two books have gotten more sales from Barnes & Noble than Amazon. And you know, we were pretty high up on their ratings for a long time. And, of course, our books are older. So we go with whatever Suspense, whatever Shannon and John, you know, want to do that because they always have the best interests of their authors in mind, and they're very good at what they do. So I don't really question that.
Peggy, what's your idea on that?
The same as Brian. This is the first that I've heard of this, but I agree with Debbie in that I would not want to be to limit myself that way and be exclusive. Although I can see both sides of it, but you know, I have a problem, you know, there's always a problem anyway with, you have readers who only read electronically. They have a Nook or they have a Kindle. They usually don't have both. So if I limit myself only to Amazon, then I'm cutting off those Nook customers, and I really wouldn't want to do that. But as far as pricing, again, the same. My books are in line with other books in my genre, and, you know, occasional sales here and there. But basically, normally they're between $2.99 and
$3.99.
What about offering, for the electronic version?
What about offering it for free? Has that helped or hurt you in your sales?
I have never run a free promo that I'm aware of.
Okay.
The lowest that I've ever had was 99 cents, and that is something that I've wrestled with, and mainly because, and I'm sure, you know, a lot of other authors would agree, we work very hard to write these books and to promote these books, and there's so many hours that go into this. And it's not that we don't want to give it away. We give away plenty of books in promos. We give away tons of books, you know, probably on our website to reviewers and blogs and so on and so forth. But at this point, even though, you know, my sales are not great, and I'm hoping that the award helps, but I haven't given any away yet. Let's put it that way.
Brian,
I think the value of the free days also depends on where your niche is. And fantasy, you know, there's two schools of thought that I've seen. Some that say it gets you readers. Some that say no. I'm in the no category. I'm not saying that the people who think free days are good or wrong. It's just I don't see the value in it. I think a lot of people download these books and leave them in their Kindles or their Nooks or wherever, and they get lost. You know, I mean, you never see them again. I think there was a time when the free books were a lot more effective than they are today. There are maybe if I had 30 or 40 books out, I might do a perma-free on a short story or something like that, but, you know, not something that I spent all this time and effort creating. But like I said, there are other people who think differently, and not to say that they're wrong. And it might also have to do with genre, because I don't see a lot of free Kindle books. You know, there are some. I don't see a lot of free in fantasy. I do see a lot of free in romance. Yeah, so maybe that has an effect. When you speak from a singular perspective, it's kind of hard to really say what's a good thing to do with it that way.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I think it depends on the author's personal choice as to whether or not, you know, they want to build, they want to put it out there, and that's entirely up to them. It's an individual's decision.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I would consider doing it for, you know, a week just for on our first book, because it's only 99 cents, and it has been since the second book came out. The second book is $2.99, and I think, you know, the $3.99 price tag or the $4.99 price tag is a good price for a Kindle book. So probably the next book will be in that price range, one or the other. But, you know, I don't think I would do it long term, but I probably would consider doing it for a week on the first book, you know. But it's you know, we've discussed it back and forth with our publisher at different times, and, you know, we've kind of curtailed it for now, because the first two books will probably be re-released at some point before the next one comes out. So we'll just see, you know, what's going on at that time and make a decision about it then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, decisions that we have to make as writers and authors. And I want to remind you.
I would like to add one quick thing. I think that people that do spend $3.99, give or take a dollar, are more likely to read and review your book than somebody that gets it for free.
That's true.
Okay.
I agree.
Yep.
Okay.
I just want to let everybody know that if you want to give the show a call, you can do that at 626-213-5613 or toll-free at 877-878-1436. And also, I want to hear from some readers out there. What do you guys like? I want to hear what kind of books you read, and where do you buy your books? If there's any readers out there, we have three writers here, but we want some readers too, so give us a jingle, give us a call, and we can talk that over to two. And I was going to ask another question, and all of a sudden, pop, it goes away. So I'll have to think of something here really quick.
Early onset dementia.
Oh, I know. I know. Book signings. Yeah, exactly. That's about it. I got enough problems, Brian. You don't have to throw it out.
You know his nickname's Lucky, right?
Yeah. So, okay, I remember now.
I'm good.
What's your experience with book signings? Anybody been to any?
Oh, yeah.
Peggy has the best story about a book signing.
I have another one coming up, Brian, that you're going to really get a kick out of. Because I like kind of unorthodox book signings. So for Fireflies, what I did was I had basically a backyard party. I had an open house at my house. And it was great. It was great.
You sold like 50 books too, right?
I sold a lot. I know it was quite a few. But we had raffles and giveaways. My son's girlfriend painted these beautiful hand-painted mugs with the book cover on them. And we raffled those off, and it was just great. We just had a blast. And for my new book that's coming out October 1st, I'm starting a whole new series, by the way. It's called The Blue Diamond, The Razor's Edge, and it's historical fiction because that's my thing. Mm-hmm. And it's a pirate story, but it's all about these powerful women pirates, so watch out. And
cool. What
we're going to do is in November – we're going to do, just after Halloween, we're going to do a pirate-themed book signing. And we're going to do it at our favorite watering hole. And so everybody, we're inviting everyone to come dressed as a pirate and bring their books, and I'll have books there for sale. And we'll have some raffles and some giveaways.
Cool.
So, but I've also done the Baltimore Book Festival. I did that last year. That was a blast. I sold some books. I signed a lot of books. It was great. I had a really great time.
What do they normally say to an author that they hardly know, or maybe they've read your other books or haven't? What do they normally say to you when they approach you?
Who are you?
Yep, no. they know who I am because that's why they're there, Brian. But the thing is, normally they're just really – first they look – it's so funny because I'm very –
has anybody seen Brandon Sanderson?
Oh, my goodness. But anyway, you know, I'm an approachable person. At least I think I am. I mean, I get approached by people I wouldn't even want to be approached by sometimes, but that's a whole other story. But when they come up – they look a little scared. It's funny. And then you're like, hi, how are you? And you introduce yourself. And then they're fine. And then they want to talk about the book. And this was at the Baltimore Book Festival because there I only knew maybe one or two people who had told me in advance that they were going to stop by the table and say hello. But for the one that I had here at my house, everybody was awesome. It was just such a great atmosphere. And everybody were asking questions and we're talking about the book. And it was just a great feeling. Now, like I said, the Baltimore Book Festival is a wonderful event, and the people came up, they pick up your book and look at it and talk to you and ask you questions, and it's fun. It's really exciting. It really is. It's I love meeting readers. They are so awesome. I mean, I met a young lady from, I don't know if you've heard of, I think it's Nerd Girl Books. They're on Facebook, and she came up and bought a book, and we had a really nice chat, and it was just a blast. You meet all kinds of people.
Brian, what has been your experiences? Where do you sell your books? Not at the corner bar, I'm sure, right?
I've done some book signings. Some of them, did one here in Fairhope, Page and Palette. It went pretty good. I've only done bookstores, and be honest, I can tell you what my agent has to say about book signings. Unless your last name's Clinton or something like that, it's not going to go all that great. You're better off with the festivals and the sci-fi conventions, or like if you were going to do one on cruelty and innocence, like some suspense thriller convention or something like that. you're going to be better off with something. That's what I'm being told. That you're better off with, if you want, like, a broad, you know, broad exposure, to go where a lot of people are going to see a lot of authors.
Yes,
right.
I agree. If it's something like that, I definitely agree.
I don't intend to really do any more, anything like that, until the next series comes out, because I'm not even doing print right now, and because right now we're working out some deals for print and digital rights to the Goblin Chronicles. Once I finish this next book, and because let's face it, when you're doing print on demand right now, you know, what are you selling, 500-600 books a year compared to 150,000 digital copies? There's no contest. Why even worry about it?
Yep. Debbie, what's your experience?
Not much of anything. When we first put our first book out, we actually did the print copy ourselves, and then we hooked up with Suspense Publishing, who did the ebook. And when we did the second book, it came out in ebook only. We never did a print copy. So the only signings that we've really done or have been people that have requested. I have a friend that bought the book and wanted me to sign it. So he mailed it to me, and I signed it and mailed it back to him. You know, that's the kind of thing that we have gotten more of, you know, just signing for individuals.
Right.
Yeah, as far as you know, it's really, most indies aren't going to end up in brick-and-mortar stores anyway.
Well, yeah. Suspense has changed their publishing a little bit, so now they're doing the e-book and the print books, and they are, you know, getting distribution on the print books. So the next book will be the full-blown, you know, how do you do, and if we release the first two, they will also be, you know, in the e-book and print format and go out to stores and that type of thing. So we'll see. You know, we would love to go to conventions. It is very expensive, and we are, I just have to say we're a bit reclusive. So, you know, we hope to get someone. People are afraid of us. We don't go out in public much. How about that? We hope to get, you know, to some conventions and maybe do some signing then in the future.
I'll be honest. I would love to do conventions. I can't afford it. I can't afford all that.
They're very, very expensive. Yeah, it's expensive.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, you know, I'm not worried about all that right now. I got so much work myself that, you know, I mean, the fact of the matter is, I'm not Patrick Rothfuss. I'm not Brandon Sanderson. I'm not, you know, Mike Sullivan. Nobody, you know, there'll be some people that have heard of me, but not at the levels of these guys. So
right.
The cost benefit to going to a convention, purchasing the books, doing all these and setting it up, you know, it's going to cost you to go. You're not going to make it. It's not going to be worth it, you know. And nobody's going to be there to see you. They're going to walk by you and say, "Hey, where's the headliner?" You know.
Well, you know, I would like to do it just for the exposure and to maybe meet just a few people that have read my, you know, read our work and have enjoyed it. And, you know, to me, that it would be worth it, you know, to do that at least, you know, two or three times at some point in my life. But I would do it more for just the interaction than, you know, I would like to meet a few authors and like to meet a few fans, and that would be great for me.
If I thought some of my fans would be there, I'd probably do it, you know?
Yeah, I have a question that was brought up by Garrison Keeler. It's a hometown fella here in Minnesota who has talked about writing, of course. He does a lot of it, and he's mentioned on several occasions about writers who decide to write in another genre. And I was wondering, If you guys have considered doing that, and what's your thoughts on doing that? Brian, we'll start with you.
Kiss of death.
Okay, well, explain.
You know, I mean, yeah, some people can do it, but look at J.K. Rowling. You know, one of the most famous authors, the first billionaire author, and to ever emerge from the literary world. And she wrote Cuckoo's Calling, and it people hated it because they wanted Dumbledore to appear or something like that. I mean, there's guys that pull it off like Stephen King, but Stephen King's Stephen King, you know. I think it's a big mistake to leave behind something that's made you successful, and because the fans, you know, the people that got you there, you know, I mean, it'd be kind of like, you know, abandoning them. You know, for me to go off and start writing mystery thrillers, I mean, it took a lot of work to get where I am. Maybe after I decided to retire, you know, something like that. But I think I think it would be akin to working in one profession until you're 55 years old, then going back to high school.
Okay, Debbie.
Sorry, Brian, I have to disagree. actually, to tell you the truth, if you can tell a good story, you can tell that story in any manner that your imagination can come up with. I am, of course, we have written two thrillers, and that is our mainstay, but we have book premises. We actually have one book that we're six chapters into that is actually more of a psychological horror. And the book that I'm writing on my own, it would be considered a paranormal. So I think if you can tell a story, you can put any kind of a twist on it you want to. You might not be read by the same group of people, but it's always good to try to expand your horizons, I think. You may not be as good at it to begin with, but you can always improve. And I don't really know that I will ever make a lot of money doing writing and just doing it what I love to do, but if people can, you know, read one of my stories and enjoy it and say, you know, I really like that. That was a good character, or, you know, great plot twist or whatever. You know, to me, that's the best compliment, you know, that somebody really liked what I wrote, even if it jumps from thriller to horror to paranormal or what have you. I like to tell a good story, something that I would read myself. So that's what I try to do.
And Peggy, I know that you do historical fiction, and that has made your stories extremely interesting from my viewpoint, just my take on what you have written so far. How do you feel about writing in another genre?
Well, historical fiction, I think every genre, there are so many subgenres that you can kind of slide back and forth, if you know what I mean. I mean, for instance, with Fireflies and a little bit in Hope from the Ocean is historical fiction paranormal, let's just say. And then sliding to my new series that I'm starting, although I am working on a third book in the Firefly series now, this new series is, there's nothing paranormal. It's all historical fiction. But I think I agree with Debbie in that if you can tell a good story and you can create characters that your readers can relate to and that they want to know more about, and then really you could write in any genre. Personally, for myself, I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but in the new book, in The Blue Diamond, I've incorporated a lot more elements that I hadn't before, and it was great. I had a ball doing it, and my beta readers have given me so much wonderful feedback. My editor has given me wonderful feedback because there were scenes, you know, there's fight scenes, there's love scenes, there's drama, there's comedy. so you're able to move about within your own genre and test the waters, let's say, before you make that leap. And believe me, contemporary fiction, I would love to write contemporary fiction because I think that a good story, as Debbie said, is a good story, whether it takes place in 1892 or 1881 or it takes place in 2014 or, in Brian's case, somewhere, you know, somewhere in another realm. So, sure, why not? Why not, you know, give it a shot? But I agree you're taking a risk because if you spent a lot of time getting a readership and growing, you know, people who like your books or love your books and are comfortable with you writing in that genre, you may have to, you know, you may be going to lose some of them. You may be going to have to go out and find some new ones because that may be their niche. That may be what they like to read.
Yeah.
I mean, I started out, Stephen King was my favorite author when I was growing up. So I started out, you know, reading horror, and here I am writing historical fiction, adventure, romance, whatever. So, But I love reading that, but I also still love reading King. So you never know. Yeah, you got to give a reader.
I almost started out writing occult thrillers. Until my son came around and gave me the idea for the Goblin Chronicles.
Yep. But you still got a few good years left in you, Brian. You could write a cult thriller down the line.
Oh yeah,
right?
I can see all my YA fantasy readers reading one of my occult stories, going, "What the hell?"
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've always read thrillers, basically, and in the last, since probably 2009, I have branched out because of having the review site and the things that I've read, you know, in reviews. I've read YA, I've read paranormal, I've read horror, you know, psychological thrillers, everything. And, you know, just recently I have been introduced to a whole new genre that I never really knew existed, that I just am crazy in love with. It's fabulous. But, you know, I guess over a period of time your reading changes and what you want to write changes. And speaking of YA, we actually have started a YA that is really kick-ass. And
Young Adult is big,
Dawn. it's fun, you know, kind of testing the waters and trying to do different things, and hopefully people will like, you know, what we've written. So,
I'll tell you what's a challenge.
Like,
you know, for YA, what's the biggest challenge is writing romantic scenes without actual sex, and still making it steamy enough
fun.
And romantic enough. You know, but keeping your audience in mind.
Exactly.
Right.
I think I did that pretty well in Fireflies. What do you think, Tom?
I think so. I really like that. I can also mention, as far as talking about change of genre and writing, we can also apply the same question to actors. And we just lost a comedian here not too long ago, Robin Williams, who was sort of typecast in the beginning as Mork on Mork and Mindy. And I remember reading an article about him a couple of days ago where he was really worried that he wouldn't be able to branch out in his acting and that he would be
typecast. It was hard to compare Robin Williams,
so,
man. He was like Mozart.
He ended up doing a lot of, as we all know, he ended up doing a lot of movies and a lot of different you know, parts. So, you know, it kind of works over there, too.
He was the comedy and acting what Mozart was the music. I mean, him making a jump is not that hard to imagine. I mean, he was so massively talented.
Yes. And
that's true. Right. And I think so, too. I had a conversation with a friend the other day on Facebook about, I'm sure you've probably all seen the movie Seven. It was a screenplay, and she had asked me a question about, I just made the comment that it had a cool ending, and she just thought that was kind of gruesome, I think. And she said, "You really thought that was cool?" And I said, "Well, certainly. You know, what would that movie have been without that ending?" What thriller writer would not want to write a script like that? Because it was absolutely brilliant, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, it's just all what you want to try, what you think you can do. And, I mean, you know, if you're really not good at it, it's going to show up in your readership and you know, what you're making off your books and what your sales are. And, I mean, you know, we're all intelligent enough to be able to tell when we're not doing well or when we're doing something right or when people are complaining or they don't like it or the ratings or whatever are not good. But it's always good to, you know, just step out there and try. What the heck, you know?
Well, when I made my earlier comment, I don't mean to say that a writer shouldn't try to write in other genres at all. But, you know, I mean, you know, we all, I still write things for, you know, my own personal, you know, I don't really go marketing them because, you know, basically, I'm a genre writer. I write in a genre. And right now I'm still building my career. And for me to go in a completely another direction as far as, like, what I'm putting out there would be a mistake for my career, you know. Not that
exactly,
I don't write
other things. It's a personal choice, absolutely.
Not that I don't write other things. Of course I do. I mean, I'm a writer. I think everybody should, you know, write a bunch of different stuff. But
oh yeah,
career-wise, it would be almost like sabotaging myself.
Oh yeah.
Mhm. Because yeah, I mean, especially being that this is how I make my living.
Yeah, I want to play something here that relates to this. It's it has to do with Garrison Keillor, and I think he said it best when he talked about it here. And I'm going to play this clip, and we'll come right back. We'll take a little bit of a break.
My advice to writers is very simple. It is to get out. Get out more. Don't sit in the house. Go for long walks. Good for you. Writing is an obsessive activity, and it's too easy to get too tied to what you're doing. When your deadline is the most serious, that's the most important time to get out of the house and go for a walk, to walk for 2 or 3 miles every day, rapidly if necessary, but to get out and to look at the world. Writing is not narcissism. Writing is about the world that we live in. And when writing loses touch with the beautiful surface of the world, it loses its way. So much writing is about the alienation of a superior intelligence, that is the writer's. That's the writing to avoid. You always want to be in touch with how things look and what people say and what they call their dogs. You always want to be there. Irma Bombeck's strength as a writer was that she knew the names of things. She knew what was in people's homes. She called things by their right name. She got out among people.
Have you ever had a time where you had to write, you know, keep up the humor writing when you were in a time in your life where life really wasn't all that funny and it was really hard to find the humor?
Oh, it's better then. It's much better. If you're really depressed, you can be much funnier. If you're in a good mood, it's very hard. I mean, and what would be the motivation for writing if you're in a good mood? Why would you want to do it?
I'm not talking so much about mood. I'm talking more about circumstance, like when something really bad is happening.
Things bad happen all the time. When you get to be my age.
Okay. So anyways, that was Garrison Keillor, a little bit on writing, and I've played a couple of his clips here. He's very intelligent when it comes to putting out ideas for writers, and listening to him talk is just amazing. He has a very deep mind. And like he said, it's good to get out. It's good to get out to see the world. And I hope all you guys are doing that. I'm sure you're not just sitting around I call them typewriters. They're actually computers nowadays. But anyways, once again, this is the Writer's Lounge. You can call us. We have only 5 minutes left at 626-213-5613. And I'd like everybody to give their closing comments or whatever they want to say. Let's start with Brian.
You know what? I just want to thank you, Tom, and for, you know, having me on and having me on all those years ago and giving me the initial chance to, you know, get myself going. I want to thank, if anybody who is a fan of my series is listening, thank you so much. It, knowing that you're out there makes all this so worthwhile, and I love each and every one of you.
Thank you, Brian. And Peggy.
Oh, you caught me off guard. I was waiting for Debbie. I've been third. Again, same. I want to thank you so much, Tom. It's been great getting to know you. It's been great being, you know, internet friends. It's been an honor to be invited on the show. I appreciate you taking the time to read my books and review my books, and I'm so glad that you enjoyed them. And I want to thank everyone who listens and who reads. And if you read my books, I love you even more. So I really appreciate this. It means so much to us as writers to have a voice instead of just, you know, a book cover or a picture. And I think it makes us more accessible to people. So thank you.
Thank you, Peggy. And last but not least, Debbie.
I want to congratulate you guys again on everything you're doing. It's great to hear that everybody's progressing along so well. I'm glad Tom's back on the radio and doing his thing. He writes fabulous reviews. He used to write for me, but he quit, and I'm so sad about that. But it's good that you're back on the radio. We do appreciate everybody that's ever read any of our work. We hope that you will continue in the future. I know we're kind of slow, but we're working on it. And I just thank you to everybody. And you know, I'm also talk a lot on a book, another book site, Webweaver Books, and I always remind people to please review everything that you read. It's so important to the authors, and it's important to other readers, so review all your books.
Great. And thank you, Brian, Debbie, and Peggy, for being on the show. I have so much to say that I don't have enough time to say it. It's been a long 4 months for me, and I'm really happy to be back on the Writer's Lounge doing this because of people like you. It's made this show a really complete success, and I've been getting emails and all kinds of messages in the last couple of months wanting to come back on the show from other authors, so hopefully soon we can do that again, and we will do that again. But thank you guys so much. It's really a pleasure again to know you all, and we will be talking to you again. Keep the writing going. And we love you. And I want to mention to our listeners out there that the show probably will return on the 15th or more than likely on the 29th. I have to line up some authors here. So if you want to submit your books, you can do that at twl11@yahoo.com. Please give me a complete detail of the book. Also a synopsis of the book and a little bit of a bio of who you are, too. So, once again, that's twl11@yahoo.com, and we'll see you next time on the Writer's Lounge. Goodbye.
Welcome back, Tom.
Dark as night in the middle of the day. Your faith and your fences have been blown away. You're down in the cellar and you've locked yourself in. Ah, but it looks like it's rainbow weather again. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. Storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind. And it looks like it's rainbow weather again. Morn. He said, Noah, get ready, for the sky will be torn. Build as I tell you, save what you can. Then wait while the rainbow weather begins. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. Storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind. Like it's rainbow weather will go. You're living in fear, but what do you know? You know that the sun's always coming then. You know there'll be rainbow weather again. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. The storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind. And it looks like it's rainbow weather. Yeah, it looks like it's rainbow weather again. The storm clouds apart and the sun peeking. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind. And it looks like it's rainbow.